Oh, Jesus, we just thank you for your presence with us this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll come and that you'll just do your business in our lives, whatever you want to do this morning. We just invite you to come and do your business with us. Weren't the kids good? I couldn't have done all that. We got it right. Little Emily, she was going for it. Well, it's a real privilege to be able to share with you on Mother's Day. But I do need to come clean and be honest with you all. And my darling daughter-in-law's sitting here as well and brought me flowers this morning. And I am so grateful, and I love to get flowers on Mother's Day. But I do think Mother's Day is a bit of a farce. You know, it's about spending money. And I'm just conscious, you know, that even maybe this morning there's people here that would love to have been a mother and have never been able to be a mother. There might be people here who never had a good relationship with their mother. And there might be people who are just struggling being a mum, because being a mum's the hardest thing anybody will ever do, I think. So before I've depressed you all totally, there's one thing that we can celebrate, and we've got in common whether we're male or female, and that is God used our mothers to give us the gift of life. And we can all celebrate that. Praise God. So that's what we're going to do. And I just like, you know, when I was praying about this morning and just thinking about this, I'd just like you to just take a minute to think about the moment that you were born, each one of you. Just picture it. The minute you were born, God had been working on you for 9 months in your mother's womb. Can you imagine God as you were born? Can you imagine him? He might have been saying to the angels, look, they're here. They're here. The creation's come to pass. And you know, I think God was so excited about us, because even before we're born, the word tells us that he had a plan for our lives. In Ephesians 2, it talks that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And, you know, part of the good plans that Father God has for us is that we should know his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Saviour, and walk in relationship with him day by day. I don't think there are any young people here, but at the moment I am just so blessed and so thankful to God for what he's doing with our young people on Friday nights. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And many of us here are filled with the Holy Spirit. But I just want to emphasize, you know, it's not so that we're happy clappy and, you know, way high. We're filled with the Spirit that we can be his witnesses on earth, that we can testify about Jesus. So I've titled my talk for today, Walking with Jesus. Because that's what I do. I love walking with Jesus. I love talking to Jesus. And I love talking about Jesus. So I'm going to tell you a story. Jesus always told stories, didn't he? And I'm going to tell you, this is a true story from several years ago, actually. And, you know, we're thinking a bit about mother's hearts today. And at the time, I had a prayer partner that I walked very closely with for about 15 years. We were really in each other's God pocket, so to speak. And she'd got a little one. And there was someone living by me who was a young mum who was struggling with a little one at the time. So one morning, my friend and I decided that I would go off and pick up this little girl to give her mum a break. And she'd take her little boy and we'd just go off walking to Tesco's. It was a lovely, bright, spring, sunny morning. So there we were, walking through the estate, pushing the buggies and just enjoying ourselves, when all of a sudden, this gypsy stops us in the street. Now, my friend was American, and she wasn't typically American, because she wasn't a brave soul, and whatever it was, she didn't like the idea of gypsies. So she was like, come on, come on. And this gypsy just came up to me and was like, will you buy some lucky lace off the gypsy? Can I tell you your fortune? I was like, no, no, no. You know, pushing the buggies off, we go on. And then I stopped dead in my tracks. And my friend looked at me and she was like, oh no, whatever God said to you, no, 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 come on, we're going to Tesco. And I was like, hold that buggy. So I went back to the gypsy. By this time, she had knocked on the door of a house, and the poor guy that opened the door must have thought he'd got a Jehovah's Witness and a gypsy at the same time. Anyway, we both got the door slammed in our face. So I said, I've just come back to apologise to you. So there we are, walking down this guy's garden path. And I said, I think I was rather rude to you. I said, I just want to explain. I said, I'm a Christian. I said, honey, I don't believe in luck. I just believe in God's blessing. And she was like, well, if you're a Christian, pray for me. She said, I'm a sick woman. And I was like, okay. And wasn't ready for this one, really. And I thought, what on earth do I pray? So anyway, I just put my arm round her and prayed that Jesus would heal her from the top of her head to the tip of her toe. And she told me her name was Bridget. And I remembered that just as I was going out the door that morning, I'd met the postman, and he'd brought a letter from a Christian friend, and I'd ripped it open to see what she'd got to say in it. And she'd put a little card, you know, little cards that you have in your Bible? There was a little card in it that said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he held out his arms and died. It was a picture of Jesus on the cross. And I thought, oh, I'll give her that card. So I said, Bridget, I'd just like to bless you and give you this card. So she was like, well, will you read it to me? Because I can't read. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So I read it to her. And I said, well, Bridget, if you can't read, I suppose you've never read the Bible then. And she was like, no. And I said, well, I said, you know, it's not good to get into fortune telling. I said, the Bible tells us that God doesn't like it. And I said, there must be something better that you can do than, you know, knock on people's doors and want to tell their fortune. And you got anything else in that bag that you can sell? I said, and you don't need to say that it's lucky. You must have things in there that you can sell. And she was like, well, I've got pictures, but she said, nobody ever buys pictures off me. And I said, right, well, I'm going to pray for you now. And I'm going to pray. I said, if you do what I tell you, if you do things right with God, he will bless your purse. You will sell your pictures. I said, just don't tell people's fortunes. It's not good with God. So I prayed with her that God would bless the things in her bag, that she would be able to sell them. And that was it. Off I went. My friend was fuming with me. She was like, how could you? Come on, let's go to Tesco's. Don't you ever do that to me again. Blah, blah, blah. So I just thank God for the opportunity, you know, because whatever opportunities we were given, we learn through them. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, you know, teach me to be on the ball. And I never thought I'd see Bridget again. But a few weeks later, I was in the shopping precinct near where I live, and I was chatting to a friend, and the chemist's door flies open, and out flies Bridget. with her daughter in hot pursuit, and she's shouting, "It's the woman of God! It's the woman of God! She tells the truth, she doesn't tell lies. God healed me. And I sold all my pictures." And she was like, you know, I was like, "Oh, hello, Bridget." And I was like, "What happened then? What's happened to you?" And she said, "Well, that morning, that day I saw you," she said, "I was in so much pain. And I'd been to the hospital. I was suffering from gallstones or gallbladder problems. And I was told that I'd got to have an operation. I didn't know how to walk that day. And God helped me. I've never had pain since. I haven't had to go back to the hospital. And I sold everything that was in my bag. I sold all my pictures. It had never happened before." And I was like, "Well, praise God," you know. So that was it, really. And I was like, I went home and I was so grateful to God. I was like, "Well, thank you, Jesus." You know, because often, you know, we pray, don't we? And often we never know whether our prayers have been answered, really. So I just thank God that, you know, he'd let me know that he'd answered prayer. Thinking, that was that. A few weeks after this, a summertime, and it's a hot summer's day, and I decided to treat myself to an ice cream from the ice cream van outside British Home Stores. It's always there in the summer. Goes up to the ice cream cart. Who is standing there in front of me but Bridget? So then the ice cream man gets the whole story. "It's the woman of God. Give her the biggest ice cream you've got." So I finished up with this whopping ice cream. The ice cream man got the story of how God had healed her and blessed her. So I got me ice cream. And she, come here, I want to talk. And she drags me to the side and said, "God brought you to this ice cream van today because I need help." And I was like, "Oh." And she was like, "I need you to come and visit me." She said, "My husband is beating me up. And she said, God's brought you here because you need to come and speak to my husband." And I'm like, "Bridget, where do you live?" And she said, "On the gypsy site down Cutthroat Lane." Now, if you're a Bedfordian that's been here a while, you might know that Cutthroat Lane was one of the worst gypsy sites around Bedfordshire. It was renowned for its violence and everything else, really. And I was like, "Bridget, I honestly cannot say that I will come. But I said, I promise you one thing. I will pray. I will ask God, and if God wants me to come, I will come." So the first thing I did was drive around to my friend's house and say, "Guess who I met in town?" And she was like, "Oh no, don't tell me." And I was like, "Yes, I met Bridget. And guess what Bridget wants?" So I told her, "There is no way, no way at all that I am going with you to this gypsy camp." I was like, "Well, you are going to pray about it, because God said that he sent them out two by two." And I said, "I'm going to pray about it. And if he's telling me to go, I don't intend to go on my own. And seeing as he's yoked us together." So we agreed. We'd both spend time seeking God, what he wanted us to do. Well, 2 or 3 days later, we came together and we both knew he wanted us to go and visit Bridget. So I guess by the time we went, it would be about a week later after this encounter in town. And my friend was absolutely terrified. I remember us now walking down, was it Clapham Road, and her praying out loud, "Lord, please don't let dogs eat us. Don't let any dogs eat us." She was terrified of dogs, and I was thinking of things a lot worse than dogs, actually, but I didn't say that to her. And so we get on the gypsy site, and asked someone if they could tell us where Bridget lived, and they pointed out the caravan to us. So we went and knocked on the door, and Bridget opens the door, and she was like, "Oh my goodness, God has sent you again. Did you see the police?" And we was like, "Police? No, we didn't see police." She said, "You must have done this. The place has been swarming with police. They've been everywhere." And my friend was going whiter and whiter. I was like, "No, we didn't see any police. Well, why were the police here?" "Well," she said, "after I saw you that day in town, I went home," and she said, "my husband beat me. And she said, I'd had enough, so I went to the police." And she said, they put me in a refuge in Northampton. And she said, "I've just come back today." And she said, "My son is so angry with me because I went to the police about his father, that he was trying to rock the caravan over with me and my daughter in it," and her daughter sat there. And she said, "God's brought you here to go and talk some sense to my son." And I was like, "Where is your son?" And she's like, "Well, he's in that caravan over there." It was like a caravan that was close by. And I was like, "Well, Bridget," I said, "I've got to pray about this as well." So I got down on my knees in this caravan and I was like, "Lord, show me. Give me wisdom. Show me what you would have me do." My friend was praying her boots off, I'm telling you. And so I felt God just giving me that peace that that's what I should do. So I said to Bridget, "Well, I'll go on the condition, on the one condition, that your daughter comes with me so that I'm not on my own, and that while we're gone, you pray with my friend for my protection." Deal. We'll do that. So the daughter comes over with me, opens the door for me to go into the caravan. And I must say that, you know, they are lovely people. Very hospitable people. So, you know, she opens the door for me to go in the caravan. I go in. She slams the caravan door shut on me inside, and she goes the other way. So there I am in this caravan. All the curtains were closed. Dark, you know, so you have to adjust your eyesight. And I look down the caravan, and to my horror, there's this couple in bed, starkers, with a quilt pulled up round their necks, staring back at me. And, you know, God's anointing was so on me that the mother anointing, I would say, and mothers here know what I mean when you pray for your children and you mean business for your children. I marched across the caravan, sat on the bed, and I was like, "What is this nonsense?" And he was like, "You're the woman of God, you're the woman of God, you're the woman of God." And I was like, "Yes, I am. And what is this nonsense about you trying to turn over your mother's caravan?" And he was like, "I'm a Catholic, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Catholic." And I was like, "Actually, I don't care if you're a Catholic, if you're a Baptist, if you're an Anglican. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven and you'll have no life." And while we're on it, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you honour your father and your mother, that it'll go well with you all the days of your life. I said, "Do you want a good life? Do you want things to go well with you? Because you're not going in the right direction." And it was just, and then I had this inspiration. A friend of mine, someone I knew quite well, was doing an evangelistic healing crusade at Pastor Vaughan's church, Miracle Church. And I'd planned to go that night anyway. And so my parting shot was, I am going to this meeting in Bedford tonight, and I expect you to be there with your mother. And stormed out the caravan. And so I went back to Bridget and said, well, I've given him a talking to, and left it at that. So I went to this healing crusade at night, wondering if they'd come, if they'd turn up. The place was absolutely packed. And all of a sudden, in comes Bridget, and I don't know how many, probably 10 young people, and I wouldn't like to guess their ages, perhaps late teens, early 20s. And Bridget sat in the middle bit. These young people just went to the front, right on the front row they sat. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I recognised the couple that I'd encountered earlier. So I thought, well, I best go and sit with them. So I went and sat with them. And you know what? They were just so unchurched, just regular. They were chewing gum, chewing bubble gum, blowing bubbles through, you know, through the worship and everything. And then they had a young guy get up to preach and give a testimony. A young black guy from London who had been into drugs, he'd been into crime, he'd been into all sorts of things. And he shared his testimony, how God, he'd met God, and how he'd just been born again totally, how God had just done such a work in his heart that he'd given his life to Jesus, and Jesus had transformed his life. And his testimony was so powerful, and I've never seen anything like it before or since, actually. The conviction of the Holy Spirit along the line, all of them, as soon as this guy started to speak, it was like the conviction of the Holy Spirit was upon them. They were sitting in their seats, and they knew that they wanted to do something. They wouldn't have known that, you know, there was going to be an opportunity to be called forward. They wouldn't have known that. You could just see, you know, they wanted what this guy had. And at the end, when an appeal was made, the whole row of them went forward and gave their lives to Jesus. And at the same time, Bridget was sitting in the back. She was as drunk as a skunk, as the saying is. The Holy Spirit was so on that woman. And I went over to her and I was like, are you okay? What's happened, Bridget? What's happened? And she was like, I just feel this power all over me. And she said, and I didn't tell you, but she said, I was deaf in one ear and I can hear everything. She said, I just... And for 20 minutes, she was just so caught up in the Spirit of God. We didn't know whether she'd be able to drive a car home, actually. She was just so overwhelmed with God. I don't know what happened to Bridget and her family, because, as you know, gypsies move on. But God taught me so much through that encounter about walking with Jesus, listening to his voice, doing what he tells us to do. And I just want to return now to what I said about us celebrating Mother's Day and how God has given us, each one, the gift of life through our mothers. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but certainly for me there was a time when I might have appreciated that my mother had given me life, but for sure I'd messed it up. And, you know, the good news is the same story of that guy, that we can mess our lives up, but God can give us a new start. We actually can be born again. And if there's anyone here that doesn't understand what a born-again Christian means, that's all it means, actually. You know, we've messed up, And we've come to God, we've come to Jesus and said, Lord, I've messed my life up, forgive me. Give me a new life in you. You take charge of my life. Because that's what I did when I came back to the Lord nearly 40 years ago. I was like, I've messed my life up totally. You take it. You do something with it if you can. And he did. And he does. Praise God. And that same thing is available today. You might feel there might be someone here who feels like, you know, the slate needs to be wiped clean. And I'm going to pray in a minute. And I'm going to pray for those who maybe don't know Jesus. But I really, actually, I'd like you all to close your eyes now, because I'm going to pray now. Lord, as I've prayed at home, the Lord really put on my heart about having the slate wiped clean. And I believe that there's people here today where you know Jesus, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You've maybe even been filled with the Spirit. But unless we keep being filled with the Spirit, we get empty. And then the slate starts to get spoilt again. I'm going to pray this first because this is what's really on my heart. I believe there's people here and you know that you're not where you would like to be with Jesus. You know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, but you are not where you would like to be. If that's you, I want to raise you to raise your hands right now and I'm going to pray for you. For the holy fire of God to fall upon you. Lord, I pray that anyone, thank you. Lord, I pray for these dear loved ones of yours who are so precious in your sight. Lord, I pray for the holy fire of God to fall upon them. It's a costly call, but Lord, I would never want to be anywhere else than in your perfect will following you. Lord, I pray that you'd fill them afresh today with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would fulfill every good plan and purpose that you have for their lives, Lord God. I pray that they'd surrender everything to you, that you would be their number one in their life, that they would live for your glory, Lord Jesus. And now I would just want to pray for anyone who has never asked Jesus into their hearts at all, ever. And maybe it's been a new story to you this morning. But, you know, God just loves you so much. He loves us all so much. That's why Jesus came. Because he didn't want any one of us to perish. He wants to bless us with eternal life, not just when we've died, but now. We live it now. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. And as I pray, if that's you, you can pray it silently. I don't want to embarrass you, but you just put your hand up or nudge a person next to you. And speak to me afterwards, or Stephen, or Andrew, anyone. But if you pray this sincerely, please speak to someone, because we would like to bless you with a gift. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. Lord, I've messed up. I've messed my life up. I've heard that you can give me new life. Jesus, I ask that you forgive my sins, that you forgive my foolish ways, the way I've messed up, that you come into my heart today, that you take over my life today, that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would give me the life that I've heard about this morning, the life that is abundant life. Jesus, I give myself to you. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that, like I said, I would like you to just let me know afterwards or let someone know so that we can just journey with you. And I just want to say this, you know, the Christian life is a joyful life. I just love Jesus. I love walking with him. But I'm not saying I never have problems. I want to get that right clear now. But I am saying this. Whatever problem I've had, he has walked with me through the problems.
That's right.
All glory to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.